You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Talk about verbs today. When you take a look at that gal up there, what do you see? That's a huge bag case that she's got. My brother just said something about when God tells you to do something, calls you to do something, shows you something, you got to step out and do something. God gives us verbs for a reason. He wants us to draw closer to Him because of the things that that irritate us, that get us, that keep us up at night. These are burdens that we have. For the last few weeks in the vision clinic process that we're going through in the vision team, we've been talking about burdens, specifically praying about burdens. And are you seeing things around you that burden you? That make you think, is there a better way? Is there something different that we can do? And so that's what we're going to talk about today and for the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about this process. Have you guys ever heard of this burden, vision, motivation, commitment? I know a couple times I've probably said, a blurb about this in the past. But not very much. We're going to teach through it now for the next couple of weeks. Most of the time we have this backwards. Most of the times we are asked or we ask others to make a commitment to do something. And that's kind of the wrong way to go about things. The right way to go about things is to find the burdens that God has put on our lives and our hearts and start from there and then follow this paradigm. Y'all with me? I don't know anyone very intimately in the room. I mean, I've got to know a few of you. But I would not want to come to any of you and say, hey, would you do this thing? Even if I ask it, hey, are you into this thing? I would want to know, first off, what burdens you? Can you fix my car today? Would you commit to fixing my car today? You understand, I have a need and I'm trying to get someone to commit to it because I have a need. In the church, we don't do that. In the church, we want to find out who has this burden for helping other people. By the way, they also have to know how to fix a car. I want to know who that person is. I want that guy working on the car. I know this is kind of funny talking about a car. Let's put it into our children's ministry. I need someone to teach right now in the children's ministry. Will you do it? I'm asking for a commitment. I don't know where your heart is. I want to know, maybe last week, I want to talk to you and say, what has God led you to do? Oh man, I am passionate about kids. I love teaching kids. Oh, they're the greatest thing in the world. My heart just yearns for them. I have a burden for the young people in the world today. Y'all with me? That's who we want teaching our children. We don't ask for a commitment first, we ask for the burden first. What has God put on your heart? What gets your goat? What's that burr under your saddle? What's the thing that, man, I've got to figure this out or die trying? That's what we want to uncover. Now, you've got a couple things in front of you on your chairs when you came in. I think you have one of these sermon note sheets, so grab that. And you also have this sheet that has some blanks on it. Hang on to that, because we're going to talk about that at the end of this thing today. But we're going to talk about burdens, and we're going to look at the life of Nehemiah, and we're going to follow this kind of burden, vision, motivation, commitment paradigm. Because here it comes in a nutshell. All right. When God gives you a burden, something that sticks with you, something that you can't get out of your heart, it eats you up, God's probably calling you to do something in that line of work. Y'all with me? I don't mean job, I mean with your hands. When he burdens you to do something, he always gives you a vision, but not before. The burden has to come first. Visions can be, oh, here's a new way of doing things, and will you commit to doing this new vision? Well, you will for a little while. But if you're not burdened about it, then when it gets kind of difficult, when you're asked to be inconvenienced to do this new vision, you guys will give up on it. Y'all get this? That if I'm burdened for it, if I know what God wants me to do, if it's a God-induced heart burden for Him, I'm going to die going in this direction. That's what we want to figure out with you guys, where the burdens of church lie. Amen? When we discover that, man, the vision just turned that burden over. Oh, I love young people. I've got a heart for young people. And it kind of reminds me of Wolfgang. Wolfgang, you love kids? Oh man, that's my burden, it's my heart, it's my passion, this is what I want to do. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, here's my direction, here's my vision. Here's what I think we should do. Does that make sense? You guys ever eaten a hamburger someplace? Or asked the waitress, what kind of a meal would you eat if you're in this place? And how often do they say, oh, I don't eat here, I don't like hamburgers. I would never eat here. I want someone who says, oh, I love this one. I would die for this hamburger. You with me, right? Same with the church. Do you love the church? Do you love Sabino Road? Or is it just, you know, it's a fun place to be? Is your burning desire to be closer to God and make Sabino Road the best church it can be right here? On the Sabino Road. Does this make sense? Or is this just a place to come and say hi or want to leave? We don't want your commitment without your burden. What are you burdened about? The motivation, that's an inside job, that's interior, that's your heart again. And it's the drive that I'm going to do this. Then the commitment finally comes. When I know what I'm burdened about, and I have a direction from God, a vision how this is going to go. Man, I am in tune. I'm locked on. I'm passionate about this. That's inside. Now let me show you with my hands what I'm going to do. That's the commitment. Commitment's outside. It's with your hands. You can see the commitment. Or you can feel the motivation. You can feel the motivation. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago. And they said, well, I've got an issue with someone. I've got a problem. Here in the church, I'm mad at someone. I said, well, is it a burden? You better believe it. Well, then what does the Bible tell you to know about it? I need to go and talk to them one-on-one. That's right. And if that's a burden, if that's hard set, if your burden is to be obedient to the Scriptures, to have this relationship good with God and this relationship good with others, that's a burden. Yes, sir. Well, then what are you going to do about it? What has she just told me? I've got a burden. I've got to take care of it. Well, what's your vision? I need to go and talk to somebody. Is your desire to trust God or to obey Him? You better believe it. That's motivation. Then what are you going to do with it? I'm going to go and talk with this person. Y'all get this? Now, a commitment that has no burden is, I'm mad at someone else. Oh yeah? What are you doing about it? Well, I thought you would do something about it. No. That's not a burden. We want to concentrate on burdens. Nehemiah's burden, when he finds out that the gates of Jerusalem are burned, that the walls are torn down, he has a deep burden. But the way he handles the burden is so important. So important. You got to follow this acronym, okay? Because Jerusalem is devastated. He responds with repentance and trust in God. When God reveals burdens to us, He doesn't want us to act out. He wants us to go inside first with repentance and trust. And follow along, if you will. We have the verses there from Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're going to read those right now. Again, this is Nehemiah talking. Nehemiah is one of the older books that we have in the Bible. Anyone know who wrote Nehemiah? Nehemiah? Well, God wrote, that's right. That wasn't a trick question, it was Nehemiah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the exile, asked them about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there, small group of people, small bunch of Israelites, in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. Now listen, great trouble, what's that? That's hands. We don't know what to do. That's shame. That's heart. That's inside. It's not just we're in a lot of trouble. No, we're shamed. Our innards are hurting. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, its gates destroyed by fire. When I heard these words, I got a mission team together. No. I started making plans of what we could do. No. I started asking all my friends around what they thought. No. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. I mourned for days. I fasted and I prayed constantly. Do you know what that's called? It starts with a B and ends in burden. Any idea? It's a burden. This burden hits his heart. What does he do? He mourns, he fasts, he prays constantly. When was the last time you had something hit your heart that you were in constant contact with God? Not just, oh, give me this, Lord. No. Lord, we got to work this out. It's killing me. Be with me. I trust you. Oh, wonderful. And I said, please, oh Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive, your eyes open, to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Some background information. Nehemiah is a Persian. This remnant that he's talking about, this is the Israelite people back in Jerusalem. He's miles away from Jewish folks. He is serving the king. He's in exile. He's away from his homeland. So when he prays this, isn't it interesting that he includes the brotherhood? Even though he's not even really kind of part of it. The mess is happening over here. He's way over on this side of the country. Does that make sense? And yet it still hits him. He's not wondering, how do I do this? How do I get a team together? No, it's hitting his heart. And he lets it have full effect. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. He looks at God and says, I'm at fault, my family's at fault. Again, I scratch my head and think, but you're miles from the action. You're miles away. And yet he takes that full bore. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. When was the last time you talked to God like this? Do you remember you said that you'd bring judgment on me if I disobeyed you? That's kind of what he's saying. Do you remember you said that this would happen if I did the wrong thing? I'd be scared to death to say that, wouldn't you? And yet he lets it fester inside. He is burned, didn't he? Remember the word that you commanded your servant. If you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them. A couple of things. Keep my commandments. That's a heart term. That means I understand them and I trust them. Keep is a way of hold on to. Y'all with me? I keep my family close to me in my heart. This is what he's saying. But then he goes a step further. And he says, not just keep them in your heart, not just know what they are, not just trust them, but you're compelled to do something about them. To do them. So it isn't just to keep them, to know them. it is to do something about it. Guys, God gives us burdens so that eventually we'll give them back to Him and we will do something about it. He doesn't want us to have burdens to load us down to our knees where we don't know what the world to do. We give them back to Him. We do something about it. Though you are outcasts in the uttermost parts of heaven, from the far ends of the earth, I will gather them and bring them to the place that I've chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power, by your strong hand. Even though, listen to this, verse 11, even though you've been disobedient, even though you haven't done the right thing, even though you're coming back to God saying, I don't know what to do and I'm so burdened by this. He says, you are redeemed. I love you. Now guys, I'm speaking to Christians now for the most part. Isn't that a neat thing? Where no matter what we do, we can come back to God. He's already redeemed us. He's bought us. He loves us.
Amen.
I'm also talking to non-Christians. If you've never had that walk with God, that relationship with your Creator, He created you for such a relationship. Yeah, you, no matter what you've done up to this point, no matter what you do for the rest of your life, He bought you with a price. He paid the price for you. He loves you. He wants to have a walk with you. Please, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants. Isn't that neat? He brings in other people now. I may not be the only one with this burden. Who delight to reverently fear your name with awe. That means your essence, your nature, your attributes, and make your servant successful this day. Grant him compassion in the sight of this man, the king. Now he was a wine bearer. He served the king wine. So he's saying, today, Lord, I just heard about this story. My goodness, I can't believe my homeland, how bad it is. And he is burdened by it. So burdened, he falls down on the floor on his knees and says, Lord, do something about it? No. Lord, is this possibly your will? No. He is burdened by it so much, he says, it's me, isn't it? Let me clean myself up. Let me repent. Let me get right with you. Let me align with what you have for me. Why are burdens so good for us? They give us a creative compulsion. It makes us want to do something. It's an inner drive, burning hot coals that remain constant, whether facing threats or not. Burdens stay with you, whether you're in trouble or not. When the roses are out and the horses are running through the fields and the dandelions and everything's great, you just got the big job promotion and the family's all great and so forth, the burden still remains. It's always there. I need this. I gotta close this. By the way, you see the name at the bottom of that screen? Jim Collins. Any businessmen in here?
Businesswomen.
Yeah, businessmen. Good job. Jim Collins wrote a bunch of books on good to great. Followed companies that were good for a while, and all of a sudden something made them go crazy great. He was not a Christian when he wrote Good to Great. As he wrote Good to Great in 1996 or 7, I want to say, one of the things that he saw was every one of these companies that went crazy good were led by what he called the level 5 leader. They had several characteristics, 5 of them. Before he became a Christian, he said, I wanted to call these guys servant leaders. But that sounded kind of soft, kind of fluffy. But these guys did have a servant kind of an attitude for the companies that they ran. Through the writing of his books, he came to see that these guys had an interesting walk with God, and he became a Christian after he wrote the first book, Good to Great. Now he's got one on of social justice and everything else. He's written half a dozen books in this alone. Isn't that something? He saw a burden in the leaders of these companies that it couldn't shake. And it had to identify with their walk with God. Our burden so good for us? Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain it. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. When I came in, I said something about, how does the gal look on the screen? You know, with a big bag and all that. Well, I'd hate to have to lug around a bag, especially in the middle of the desert, right? Most of us look at birds and say, man, this is awful. Oh, I hate this burden. Wish this burden were gone. God gives us burdens so that we bring them back to Him. God puts us in a situation that we don't know what to do, so that we cry out as children and say, Father, help me. I've got this burden. I don't know what to do with it. Burdens require us to live a different kind of life than others. Look at this, to burn up and not out. If you try to carry your burden, you're going to burn out. If you give it back to God, you're going to burn up in the Spirit. You know, Paul said, fire, fearlessness, faithfulness. Continue to stoke the fire of the gift that was placed on you. What God's called you to do. Stoke the flame of what God's done. To live with intention, purpose, passion. That requires a lot of self-discipline, a lot of patience. Someone once said, and I try to emulate this as much as I can with my words, it is discipline, not desire, that will determine your success. And I want to, when I have a burden, I want to be disciplined to bring it to God and say, it is yours. We're on the same team. Will you take this burden? You've given it to me, now I want to give it back. Burdens aren't given for our work. Burdens are given for our trust and obedience. Have you guys heard that one before? Stay with me, people. Come on, wake up. Only a few more minutes. Burdens are given for our trust and obedience. God doesn't give us a burden and say, will you do something about this? Because I don't know what to do. Here you go. He puts things in our way so that we say, Lord, why did you do this? Why is this thing in front? Why is this burden here? Why is this obstacle here? Why is this thing so attached to me? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to turn to God. That's why He has it there. I turn to God and I say, I can trust you. I'll be obedient with you. Isn't that neat? What to do with burdens? What did Nehemiah do? He trusted God. He obeyed His commandments. Oh Lord, You said that if we do this. And then he repented of his sins. Even me and my house. God promised to keep His word. Paul's desire for the church, this is from Ephesians. See that you walk carefully. And that requires two things. One is living life with purpose, honor, and courage. The other thing is shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, intelligent, sensible, and discerning people. Making the very most of your time here on earth. Recognizing, looking for, noticing, and taking advantage of every opportunity, each opportunity, and using it with wisdom and diligence. Why? Because the days are filled with evil. So don't be foolish. Don't be thoughtless. But understand and firmly grasp what the will of God is. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, did you see that last thing up there? Making the most of your time. The word that he uses here, he had a couple of choices. One is kairos, one is chronos. Chronos is, he's got a chronograph watch. You guys got one of those watches? Chronograph refers to time in general. It's the clock time. But kairos refers to a predetermined, specific amount of time. It's measured. It's allocated. It's fixed. The clock is running now. Why are burdens important? Time is running short. You don't have all this time. Go back to this. When Paul says, make the very most of your time, he's not saying, hey, time flies, just have it. He says, you've got a short time. Make the most use of it. What do we do with our burdens? Jesus said, come to me, you heavy laden, you weary, give me your burden. What do we do with our burdens? We bring them back to God and give them back. What are you burdened about? What are you burdened about? Family? Finances? Neighbors? What burdens you? Strange thing, these burdens. They keep us up and they knock us down all at the same time. What keeps you up at night? What is the thing that you can't seem to sleep on? What's the thing that you can't bring to God and say, I'll trust you? These burdens are given so that we trust in them. Everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. The victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. He liked that statement so much, John said it a second time. Who is the one who is victorious and overcomes the world? It is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Why do we have burdens? To trust Him. God's not up there like some big guy in the sky saying, I'm going to send you some harmful stuff and watch you squirm. He says, I'm going to put something right your way that's going to eat you up until you say, yes, Lord, I'll trust you. That's what He wants from us. He wants that relationship. Turn to Him. A couple things about burdens. Then we're going to do an exercise. The burden has to be bigger than you are. Burdens aren't little things that we can take care of. That's not a burden. That might be a to-do list, but it's not a burden. Burdens are those things that knock us to our knees and say, how are we going to get through this? You need to turn to God. Burdens have to be God-centered. They need to be from His heart. Burdens come from God to draw us closer to Him. Now, I might have a burden to get one of those really nice sports cars. That's not from God. Unless someone here, some rich cat, wants to be faithful and get a good pastor, then that would be a problem. You guys understand what I'm saying? My desires for what I want, that's not a burden. Oh, my desires can keep me up at night now. I can work hard for those, but they're not from God. The burdens from God drive me to God. The desires of my life drive me to work hard so I can buy a car. Y'all with me? Yeah. There's selfish desires. There's godly burden. It originates from within. And it comes from God and God alone. He wants it back. He wants it back. On your sheet, this one. We just went through some of those things just a moment ago. Look at the first blank that we have there. It says, the burdens I have for my personal life. Take a minute and write something down there. What are the burdens you have for my personal life? Draw closer to God, hopefully. What else? Oh Lord, my children, my grandchildren, my cousin, my niece, whoever. Is not walking with you, that kills him. Things aren't right with the wife or the husband. Financial burdens. Met someone that just moved from North Carolina. What burdens do they have? Oh, we got to set up shop, or find a place, and meet new friends. Think of all those burdens. What burdens do you have? Write them down. Think about it. Now, since we're so intimate, since the fireplace is burning over here in the corner, does anyone want to yell one out? Say it again. I can't hear it.
For Israel.
Israel. Israel. Israel. Anyone else? Wow. How to be, work through the compartments of your life. How's that? Are you the same person in each place? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
To be able to hear and do God's will.
Yeah. Wow. I've heard from my son. He's 23 in the Air Force. He's got a lot of things on his plate. Burden for him. Anyone else? When I say they keep you up at night, when I awake and my mind is going, you guys are like that too, aren't you? What do you think about? Sometimes I will say something, what irritates you? What keeps you on edge? What is it about this thing that you just can't seem to leave? These are burdens from our personal life. Look at the next slide down, or the next space now. The burdens I have for my church. What are the burdens you have for Sabino Road Baptist Church? Take a minute or two. Go ahead and write. All right. Who's got something? Yes, sir.
Learn as much as possible to turn in the life.
Wow. Did you guys hear that? Learn and grow. Learn and apply. Yep. Learn and apply. That's pretty good. Good job. That's a personal one as well. Anything else? Yes, sir. The right man to lead. The new pastor, absolutely. Anyone else? Yes?
Like the burden for the lost.
Burden for the lost. Yes?
A burden to love one another the way Nehemiah loves his family.
Burden to love one another the way Nehemiah did. You guys understand one more time, just to jump on that rabbit that just ran through the room? He loved the people in Jerusalem, and he probably didn't know very many of them. He's in exile. They're over there. But he loved the people that God loved. This is his people. Yes?
Financial.
You bet. Yeah.
Think of each other the way that Jesus thinks of us, the way the Father loves us, and we can see each other that way.
Excellent. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? By the way, this is what we're doing in the Vision Clinic. So we want to hear from you guys as well. All right, go down to the next space. You see what it says? The burdens I have for my neighborhood, for my community. Now, and that doesn't have to be here at this location. This is if you live 20 miles away. Do you have burdens in the neighborhood? I hope you do. What burdens do you have for your neighborhood? Take a minute or two, write them down, and then we'll talk. Burdens for your neighborhood, for your community. All right, what you got?
Ministry within the church.
Ministry within the church and the neighborhood. Excellent. Anyone else? Yes, sir. The children? Right, ABCS, yeah. Those that need homes and foster, yeah. Of course. Isn't that funny how we always think of the kids? kids, but sometimes not the parents. Yeah. Good job. Anyone else?
Figure out a way to connect with our neighbors.
A way to live with who?
Figure out a way to connect with our neighbors to take that initial step to open the door to have communication.
Absolutely. And then someone else?
Becoming contagious.
Being a contagious Christian. Do you know what qualifies for a contagious Christian? You can use any word here. Passion, love, desire, burden. I want someone burdened to do this, passionate to do it. Absolutely not. I've got to do this job. Okay. God loves a happy and cheerful giver. Anyone else? The last one. Look down at the bottom. It says the burdens that I've been holding on to, trying to do on my own. Take just a minute or two. We're not going to ask you to throw that out publicly. We want you to dwell on that and ask God to help you. But what are the burdens that you know you need to give to God, but you're going to try to do it on your own? Go ahead. Take a couple minutes. I might have already told you this story. We're wrapping up right now, so just hang with me. I think I told you that when Brock had his taking his chemo and all this stuff for his cancer at St. Jude, that was such a great time of burden and giving that to the Lord. And then about 3 or 4 months later, a lot of the churches in our association here in Tennessee were going through some difficult times and so forth, and I was getting very stressed out, and I had a bunch of plates spinning and balls in the air trying to do everything, and I was getting kind of irritated and let's do this and that and just working hard. Becca came to me one time and said, what is wrong with you? I said, well, man, all these churches, they need to do this and that. Let's go. I got with her. She said, have you prayed through it? Of course, she usually says the word, have you aligned your will with God? Oh, I hate it when she does that. And then she laid me out. How can you give your son to God and keep your job to yourself? And I said, because I can control it. Can't control Brock with his cancer. But I can control his mind. Look at it. You guys ever look like this? Do you? What are the things that God's burdening with that I'm going to take over? I'm going to do this. I've got to figure out what to let it go. Trust Him. There's only one reason why God sends you a burden, to draw you closer to Him. We heard a lot of good burdens today, didn't we? And you guys have a lot that you didn't share. What does He want you to do with those? He wants you to internalize them in your heart and say, Lord, I don't know what to do about them. I'll trust You. I will give them back to You. Come, help me. That's as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, He's giving you these things, so you'll say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need You. I want to accept You. I want to be Your friend. I want You to be my God. I want to have that walk, that relationship with You. That's what I want you to do if you haven't done that already. Amen? Next week, we're going to talk about vision. This week, your homework is to be very in tune with those things that burden you. Not irritable things that, you know, you can handle. I mean, things that really hit you down. Y'all with me? Write them down. Put them somewhere. Make it a matter of prayer. Ask God to show you the burdens that He wants you to see. Because there's burdens all around us. Amen? Love you guys. I sure love being your pastor. Been fun. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the day. Thank You for Your message. And Lord, thank you. It sounds crazy to do this, but thank you for the burdens that you give us. Because we know that burdens have their place. You want us to trust you. You want us to get back in right relationship with you. So we do thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Even those burdens, especially those burdens, because you do have a direction. You do have a way for us. Thank you, Lord. Bless this time of invitation. This is in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.